Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-in. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to The Back Brief. I'm your host, Ronald Rodriguez. Another week of veteran news down. Here we go. Today, I'm going to be talking with the amazing, the venerable. Not enough people get hit with the venerable title, but I'm going to go with venerable Jack Murphy, who's here to tell us what's been going on in his world. Jack, thanks for being on the show, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Dude, so what have we missed this week in the world of veteran news?
Oh, this week, I mean, a few different things going on. Well, first off, there was the whole incident with the Navy SEAL Museum, where they did a demonstration with military working dogs. And you guys are probably all, everyone's familiar with those demonstrations where they have a guy dress up in the big bear suit, you know, with all the pads, and then they send the attack dogs at them, and they bite the guy's arm, and they pull him down, and all that kind of good stuff. Well, this time, the guy wearing the suit, the demonstrator, was also wearing a Colin Kaepernick jersey. And they released the hounds on him, like four dogs. And this was at a demonstration in front of like 100 people. So, of course, someone took a video of it. It got onto the internet, caused a big scuffle, a big deal. Naval Special Warfare is actually not associated with the Navy SEAL Museum. It's privately run. But they broke ties this week. They said, we're breaking ties with the museum until they get their act together. And they reiterated that, you know, this demonstration, this museum, it had nothing to do. There were no active duty SEALs there. So basically they were saying it's not our fault, which it's true in this case. It's not. So that was a little interesting interlude this week.
So wait, so the guys that did this demonstration, they're retired Navy SEALs, former Navy SEALs?
I actually don't know. From the way some of them looked like they were cosplaying Navy SEALs. Maybe they were just civilians. So I really don't know.
But it is the Navy SEAL Museum that is not part of the DOD, not associated. It's just we're devoted to this. This is our thing.
It's privately run, has like a board of directors with a bunch of former SEALs on it, etc.
Regardless of whether you're a Navy SEAL or not, there has to be some level of just pure ignorance to think that there's no connection between sicking dogs on, there isn't a negative stereo, a negative connotation of sicking dogs
on black people.
On black people. And whether or not you're wearing blackface, you're wearing Kaepernick's jersey.
It's because of the 1963 protests in Birmingham, Alabama, where the police set loose German shepherds on black, you know, civil rights protesters.
Right. And this still comes back down to, and I know, you know, some of our viewers and listeners, they're not going to like this opinion, but again, don't care. Leave your comments down below. Here's the thing. Kaepernick was kneeling. He started this kneeling thing after talking with the Green Beret, who said, you know, they had a conversation. I believe the conversation was, I want to protest. I want to bring attention to, the, you know, minority causes, black lives, brutality. There's just an injustice in this country. I want to protest. I want to demonstrate my position without being disrespectful to anybody. I got to give it to Kaepernick in that respect. He's trying to placate the audience. He's trying to play every end. Like, hey guys, I don't want to piss anyone off. And in the end, he still ended up pissing everyone off. He gets the green light. Hey, just take a knee. During the national anthem, just take a knee. It's not inappropriate. He gets the green light for this, and he's still wrong. And now we're doing these, I guess, human effigies of him getting mauled by a dog. I don't know.
Yeah. I am, just my personal opinion, I'm not the biggest fan of Kaepernick, whatever his name is. I understand the protests about police brutality, but then he gets in all these other things. Like, you remember the whole thing with the Betsy Ross flag, and he was telling Nike, like, oh, you can't do that because the Betsy Ross flag is racist. It's like, come on, man, you're just a showboater and a spotlighter. Like, that's what this is really about. There's like a performative aspect of it. Like, at some point you're crossing the threshold from this being about civil rights to it being all about you.
At the same time, so is everybody. Like, everybody's showboating. Even the guys that are anti-Kaepernick, these guys are like, yeah, yes, well, I don't like Kaepernick, and I hate BLM, and I'm all about red, white, and blue, and support the blue, and I'm about this. And it's like, well, you know, you can be about
grandstanding. Yep.
Yeah, they're grand. You can be you could be about a lot of different things without having to shit on everything.
Well, that's why it's a culture war, because it's like you're expected to choose a side. Like, we all have to choose. Like, Rodriguez, do you support the police or not? What's wrong with you? You know, like this sort of thing. It's ridiculous. But what's also ridiculous is having a dog team demonstrator wear Kaepernick's football jersey and sicking the dogs on him. That's also ridiculous. It's ignorant and it's stupid and it's needlessly inflammatory. Especially in this environment.
You know what we need? We need a really good bad guy again. We need Osama bin Laden. Let's just be real, folks. We need a bad guy. We need an OBL. We need somebody that we can all point to as a country and go, that guy's a piece of shit.
Well, Rod, why do you think that so many conversations in America end with, you know, comparisons to Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich? It's a constant need to find that villain we all want to feel as if we are in this historical moment where you want to be on the right side of history and it's good versus evil. So that Hitler comparison just comes back again and again and again.
We need a Joker. That's what we need. We need a super villain that we can all point to and go,
Luthor.
Yeah, Lex Luthor. And it can't be the Facebook guy. Everybody, you know, everybody points to Zuckerberg and Bezos. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That congressional hearing that just happened recently where they're, you know, a bunch of Congress people who don't understand technology trying to talk to the three or four possibly smartest people in the world when it comes to the use of technology and social media. That was a shit show and probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unreal. And you know, we all have our, I should say Americans. I mean, they all get their personalized conspiracy theory villains, you know? So if you're on the left, you have the Koch brothers. If you're on the right, you have George Soros. And I guess now Bill Gates is also on that list somehow.
He made COVID. I heard they cooked COVID up in a Microsoft lab somewhere. Look, if you think he made COVID, you obviously are not a Windows user, because I would be amazed if they could create a virus that did what it does now. I mean, every update so far has been terrible. We need patches for things that just came out. I don't think it was Microsoft. This seems more like an Apple thing. What else is going on? I know there was another story you were just dealing with just recently.
Yeah. So I don't get a whole lot of work emails, but I have to say my inbox has been blowing up the last couple of days. And it's over this article I wrote about John James, who's running for the Senate in Michigan, and Bryant Messner, who's running for Senate in New Hampshire. And in their campaign ads, they both claim to be Rangers. The Washington Post did like some kind of like a fact checking on them. And even the Army kind of called it out a little bit. But so here's the issue. They're both claiming to be Rangers because they both graduated from Ranger school. And now we're going to go get into like the insider baseball here, because there are a lot of people who served in the 75th Ranger Regiment that disagree with Ranger school graduates claiming to be Rangers. So again, I got to get into the weeds here a little bit to explain what this disagreement is even about. Ranger school is a 2-month course that teaches infantry tactics and leadership. It is a training school. It exists under Training and Doctrine Command, based out of Fort Benning, but also the other branches of Ranger School are up in Dahlonega, Georgia, and at Eglin in Florida. So it is a school, and it is open to anyone in the Army. Anyone in the Army can go who qualifies, who meets the requirements, and you go to the school, and when you graduate, you're awarded the Ranger tab. And it's one of the hardest schools in the Army. And then there is also the 75th Ranger Regiment, which is a unit. It is not a training command. It is not a training course. It is a special operations light infantry direct action unit, deploys overseas, kicking ass all the time. But they both have the name Ranger in them. And they both, the instructors at Ranger School and members of the 75th Ranger Regiment, both wear tan berets. So, like, this is very, like, kind of convoluted and confusing to the American public. And I don't think the American public even cares. But, it's sort of an insider baseball thing that members of the Ranger Regiment will look at that and look at Ranger School graduates like James and Messner and say, you're not Rangers, you're Ranger qualified. That you qualified for the Ranger tab.
This is the Ranger's fault. This is a Ranger problem. First of all,
you're not wrong.
You can't give people a tab that says Ranger and don't expect them to call them.
Yeah.
Look,
yeah.
You have a Special Forces tab. Guess what? You are Special Forces. You have an Airborne tab. You're Airborne. Yeah, you could be in an Airborne unit, but you're an Airborne soldier. Okay. You put a Ranger tab on. You don't expect this dude to call himself a Ranger? Like, it's literally
confusing.
Right there.
It doesn't necessarily make sense. And like, full disclosure, open kimono here. I graduated from Ranger School, class 0404, and I also served in the 75th Ranger Regiment. So that's another layer of confusion, because you can be both, right? And if you're a member of the 75th Ranger Regiment, if you have any sort of leadership position, you're going to go
to be
a Ranger School graduate.
But you can't, like, Special Forces, nobody Special Forces qualified.
Right.
And
if you're Special Forces qualified, you wear a green beret, you are Special Forces.
Yes, that is 100% true. And that's a range, maybe. And now this might sound sacrilegious to every Ranger or Ranger qualified person out there, but maybe change this name of Ranger School. Maybe change the name, call it something else. And that way it's a school that you go to learn the special set of skills. And then that leaves the Ranger Regiment. Those are Rangers. So you don't get to be Ranger qualified and then maybe not go be part of. If you're a Ranger, it's because you were in 75th Ranger Regiment. But then you'd have the school that you can, you know, boast about, and you have your little licky sticky and your tabby thing that would be like, I don't know, Army Advanced Guy school. I don't know. I don't know what we call it.
The Advanced Leadership Course or something.
I think they already have that ALC. That's for like E7s, I think. But
damn it.
Maybe like but if we call it Commando School, then we have a bunch of commandos running around, running for office, who were never really commandos. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's I definitely acknowledge the ridiculousness of all of this. And I've gotten a lot of emails, people who fall on both sides of this issue who feel that, you know, if you graduated from Ranger school, you should not be calling yourself a Ranger. Other folks chiming in saying, you know, if you graduate from Ranger school, you are a Ranger, period. Like some fiery emails this week, some fiery emails. And I don't necessarily get my feathers ruffled by this argument, especially, you know, not anymore. I've been out of the Army for 10 years. It's sort of the Army's deal to figure it out. And it's not really my problem. But I wrote an article about it because people do care about this subject, which is evidenced by the fiery emails I've received.
So let me ask you. The intel guy attached to your SFODA on the ground with you, is he an operator?
No. And now I'm a little old school. I'm a little old fashioned. Okay. So
also, you know, that is the correct answer, but go ahead.
you know, maybe the, our young millennials and zoomers out there will have words with a hapless boomer such as myself. However, an operator is somebody who serves in Delta Force or SEAL Team 6. That is it. When you graduate from the operator's training course, which is what it's called to become a member of Delta Force, an operator in Delta Force, your job title is operator. That's actually what it is. Just like mine was Ranger or Special Forces Weapons Sergeant. Like their job title is operator. So I would say if you have not served in one of those two units, you are not an operator. I was not an operator. I served in the Ranger Regiment and Special Forces. I was not an operator. I was a Ranger and I was a Green Beret.
That's been one of my favorite things, especially in the intel community, because we don't have cool guy stuff. Like for us, there's, you know, special courses that you can go to, but they're not operator courses. They're not like breach courses, typically. But you got
like,
a lot
like LMTV operator? Is that a course?
and like boring, but that's the thing. Like we don't have a lot of cool guy stuff to do in the intel world. So I've seen folks that will latch on to the units they were with. Oh, I was an operator working, you know, working with S, you know, Delta or working with special operations.
It's like,
whoa.
You'll have a guy who would be like a National Guard intelligence analyst. They'll do one pump overseas with JSOC working with them doing intel work. And for the rest of their lives, they're a JSOC guy. I was a JSOC. Like, okay, bro, if you say so.
That one time. Oh, my God. Anything else? There was a hearing today. You watched it. So folks, here's what I want to do. And I'm trying to convince Jack, email him, text him, tweet him. I want Jack and I to start doing a show where we go and we listen and we watch these, congressional hearings. And we're just going to do Mystery Science Theater them as they happen. I think it's going to be great. Jack, what happened today, man?
So there was a hearing, confirmation hearings for Jason Abend to be Inspector General of the Department of Defense. Huge, huge position. Bradley Hansel, Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence and Security. Lucas Polkowski, Assistant Secretary of Defense for Nuclear, Chemical, and Biological Defense Programs. And more pertaining to the sort of stuff I cover, Louis Bremer, to be Assistant Secretary of Defense for Special Operations and Low Intensity Conflict. So it was interesting. It was interesting. Bremer has come under fire, I guess you could say, for some of his social media stuff, saying, you know, he's a tequila drinking ex-Navy SEAL, for posting pictures of him with Milo Yiannopoulos, who is the now famous political commentator who was fired from his job at Breitbart for defending pedophilia. Also a lot of leaked stuff indicating his, shall we say, neo-Nazi ties.
Wait, hold on. This guy is connected with neo-Nazi stuff?
Connected with a guy who's pretty in deep with it. Yeah, Milo Yiannopoulos.
Okay. Milo, yeah, I know this dude, like the super gay guy who's like got some weird position. Didn't he say he's, as a kid, he seduced the priest that molested him?
That was like the beginning of the end for Milo. Yeah.
Yeah. That was on Joe Rogan, I believe. Yeah, I think that's where he said that. But so controversial. He keeps some interesting friends, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. There was some other stuff that came out of the hearing, which was interesting. Bremer is he's a corporate guy since he left the Navy, and he sits on the board of directors for a company called Cerberus, which apparently owns another company called Tier One Group, which he is also on one of their committees. And Tier One Group allegedly trained the Saudis who murdered Jamal Khashoggi. Yes, sir. That's right. It came up in the hearings just today. I was listening to it this morning.
And you don't want a Mystery Science Theater this shit? Are you kidding me? Sir, this is hilarious. Oh, my God.
The jokes I would make are probably not for public consumption. There's also a lot of stuff about ethics and culture and special operations and what he's going to be able to do to reform the system.
Does he have your vote? If you were on that board and they were like, Mr. Murphy, yay or nay?
I would say no, honestly. And the reason why is because they asked him about that subject with Jamal Khashoggi and training the Saudis. And it was reported in the Washington Post and other outlets all over the world. And he sits on the board of directors for this company. He said it's only five people on the board of directors, including him. And they asked him, so did you guys do an investigation? Did this come up? Like, what did you guys determine about all of this? And he's like, I don't recall any investigation. It's like, wait a second, bro. Your job, you're saying you're going to come in here, you're going to reform special operations, reform the culture. But you sit on a very small board for a fairly small company, and there's a serious accusation being leveled against your company in the press that your company trained the people who murdered Jamal Khashoggi, and you're saying, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. If I'm a senator, nope, you're not the guy, because you're asleep at the wheel. That's my impression of that.
That is an impressive memory. I love when people have that, especially on Capitol Hill, when they're questioned about things, and it's like, tell me about this conversation. Like, you know, I know that conversation has everything to do with what we're doing here and super important, but it slips. I don't remember. Murder. I don't recall murders or, boy, just a little shaky right there. I'm with you. And in fact, first of all, does this guy have any relation to Paul Bremer?
I don't know.
Interesting. So, okay. Did anybody come out of that hearing looking good? Do you think they're going to pass these guys?
Abend was questioned pretty heavily that he didn't really have a whole lot of IG experience, although he had experience running investigations. And that's important. He's going to be the IG of the Department of Defense. Huge, huge position.
Especially right now, yeah.
I think they'll probably all get confirmed. I don't think there's anything in there that was so prejudicial or so offensive to the senators running the hearing that they would not confirm them. So I would expect that they all get confirmed.
Something that's been on my mind, and I would love to hear your take on it, is this been in the news, but it hasn't been in the news, is Epstein and this Maxwell chick. This conspiracy, alleged conspiracy of mass pedophilia, pedo island that Epstein was running. We've got apparently Clinton, Gore, a bunch of Dershowitz, a bunch of people flying with this guy to his island. Naomi Campbell. I'm wondering,
Stephen Hawkins, Bill Clinton.
Stephen Hawkins, no. Stephen Hawkins?
Yes, sir.
God damn it. Ah, that hurts. That one hurts. Okay. before I pass judgment on this guy, but I think it's pretty safe to say you can pass some judgment here. In your experience, reading this and your special operations experience and knowing some of the players that are deep in the veteran community, where is your mind going with this? Is this something that you've been tracking, and is this connected with any veterans and or high-ranking people that we might know of?
Yeah, no, it's interesting you bring it up. I have been tracking this story since about 2014 or 2015, back when people used to laugh at me for talking about it. Nobody's laughing anymore, and that's largely because of the work of Julie Brown at the Miami Herald, who she wrote a very in-depth piece about the victims and about Jeffrey Epstein. And that's what led, I mean, honestly, without her, Epstein would never have been arrested and incarcerated. Without her, Maxwell would not be incarcerated right now. She would not be facing trial. Basically, none of this stuff would be happening if not for Julie's investigative journalism. So she really did some incredible work there. As far as this story, I think that there's a number of things you have to look at. And I think there's a number of things that still will not be looked at because of how controversial they are. If you look at who Epstein is, he was a school teacher in Brooklyn. He got a job working, you know, Wall Street, like hedge fund stuff. And after working there for only maybe a year or two, he suddenly left, formed his own company, becoming a finance manager exclusively to billionaires. Now, explain to me the meteoric rise from high school teacher in Brooklyn to hedge fund dude who only works with billionaires as clients. How did that happen? And so this whole question of blackmail, I think you have to roll back much further into the past than people have been willing to go. That this has been a MO, that this has been a project that Epstein has been involved in for a very long time. And back in those days, not just pedophilia, but also homosexuality was not as socially acceptable. I don't mean to compare homosexuality and pedophilia. I hope everyone understands that.
Only in the sense of how taboo it was.
You could be blackmailed for being a homosexual in the past, where nowadays it's not such a big deal.
Nobody cares. Yeah.
So I think that's one thing you have to look at. Then the other thing I think you really have to look at is not just this whole pedophilia blackmail network is bad enough in of itself, but I think to really get to the bottom of this story, you have to look at the Israeli and Saudi connections and whether or not Jeff Epstein. Sorry.
No, you're good.
Start over again.
No. Keep it in. We're good. Keep going.
I think you really have to look at, you know, Jeff Epstein's connections to foreign intelligence services. A lot of people would like to believe that, you know, the CIA was behind this, but believe me, that organization doesn't do stuff like this, particularly nowadays, after the Church Committee hearings and everything.
I think that's something people forget, is that our CIA, unlike the GRU, for example, GRU, right?
Right.
Unlike those guys and a lot of other foreign intelligence services, compared to them, the CIA has a very tight leash.
Yes. They have a lot of congressional oversight. They have a lot of laws they have to comply with.
Even the black ops, even the scary super, 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 super squirrels, super secret squirrel stuff, there are still people that those guys who head those projects are accountable to, and that's Congress.
Yeah, there's no comparison between, say, the Russian FSB and the CIA. They're not the same thing. But my point there is that, that's not how we even operate. That's not how the intelligence community operates. But Epstein had these interesting connections with Israelis and Saudis, and I think that that's the thing that you really have to dig deeper into and question which intelligence agencies may have had leverage over who. And who was running Epstein? Was Epstein really the puppet master, or is there somebody behind the scenes hovering over him? And I think those are the questions that we're probably never going to have answers to.
Is there a point where, you know, we've got people like Clinton, we've got people like Gore, we've got people, unfortunately, like Hawkins now, they decide they're going to go do dirt with this really rich guy. Nobody thought, like, this is going to be held against me. Like, I could go down hardcore for this.
Well, look at that interview that was done with Prince Andrew, which led to him not resigning. You can't really resign from being a prince, but he stepped down. He did that interview, I think it was with BBC, it was with the British press, and they asked him about Virginia, the underage, she was like a 16-year-old girl at the time that was with Epstein, and supposedly Prince Andrew also slept with. And they asked Prince Andrew about it, and he was like, oh, it couldn't have been me in that picture because I don't hug people. There's a picture of him with this girl with his arm around her. Oh, it couldn't be me because I don't hug people. And then there was an account where Virginia said that she was dancing with him and he was just all sweaty. And he had this answer like, oh, well, I don't sweat, so it couldn't have been me. It was just, you have to understand, like, this is an elite class of people. They do not live in the same world as you and I. You know, if we have unpaid parking tickets, like, we're going to go to jail. You know, if we do something, if you were a military intelligence guy, if you or I broke a classification, you know, did what Hillary Clinton did with top secret information, we'd get charged, we'd get indicted, we'd go to prison most likely, unless we got plea bargained out. These people live in a different universe. They're not held accountable for things in the way that the rest of us are.
It reminds me of when I was doing a questioning of detainees. Questioning. That's not a much nicer word. I was doing some questioning of detainees, and my favorite two answers, one answer I got was, I had a video of a guy doing bad things. And I said, that's you. He goes, mister, that is impossible. That is not me. And I said, how is that not you? He goes, that man, that's a different haircut. I was like, what? Okay. The other one was, I cannot lie, because God will not allow me to.
I like that. Yeah,
I like that one. So one is the guy has a different haircut, and the other one is, I can't lie. It's physically impossible for me. God will strike me dead if I lie. So therefore, I must be telling you the truth. Have you heard about any high-ranking officials within the DOD? I mean, you would think the president would be enough, but let's go a step further. Are there any generals that have been implicated or named or any other folks that Epstein might have absconded with to his island?
Not to my knowledge, no. And I don't have any particular insider knowledge on this subject, don't claim to, but looking over the public records, the things that have been released, I'm not aware of any, no. I think Epstein kind of rolled with a different sort of set. I don't think he's the type of guy who really cared about military anything. I think he wanted to go straight to the top, to the policymakers.
So the reason I ask that is because there's a couple of pictures of him wearing Navy SEAL shit. Like to me, it seemed like he had this obsession with being special. Like he wanted to be the guy that was like, I know the billionaires, I'm cool like this.
He wanted to flaunt that he could break the rules and that there is nothing anyone could do about it.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. That is a story that I have been carefully watching because there's, like you said, this is something that goes back years and decades even where we've been saying, like, I was called crazy because I was like, hey, you know, they're doing this weird owl shit in the middle of the woods. Like, that's just rich people doing weird shit. I'm like, well, isn't that weird? Isn't that enough for us to go, why are rich people doing really weird shit in the woods with owls and stuff? And then whatchamacallit, WikiLeaks comes out and you've got Hillary Clinton talking about lucky rabbit's feet and Moloch. And this isn't like an email to your buddy like, ha, Moloch. No, dude, this is like an email with your State Department email to someone else mentioning weird owl shit. Like,
I'm gonna have to go look up that email now. I don't think I've seen that. Oh,
dude.
But the thing is, whether it's Epstein or like you're mentioning Bohemian Grove,
I like weird owl shit better, but if you want to get technical, sure, Bohemian Grove.
These things are real. The danger is that the conspiracy theory people get a hold of it, and then they blow it up into something it's not. And what that ends up doing is like muddying the waters. And so that, you know, when I, or me or you or anyone, any reasonable person brings up Jeff Epstein, says, hey, this is wrong, someone should do something about this, you just get laughed at because people are like, oh, you're one of those 9/11 truth people or something like that. And that's what the conspiracy theorist people do, that like every single time they take an issue where there's some real concerns and just turn it into something that's batshit crazy. And then we never really get to the bottom of it because the waters have been so muddied.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think it's an interesting conversation because especially in the veteran community, I mean, I'm plugged into a bunch of veteran groups on Facebook, and I've been seeing a lot of anti-pedophilia, like more than ever. Like everybody's like, fuck COVID, fuck this shit. Pedophilia, this is happening right now.
And that's a very distinct narrative that appears specifically targeted at veterans. And I've noticed the same thing, Rod, the last couple weeks. And I have to suspect that if you dig, you pull that thread, that you're going to find foreign interference and something like that, because it is a propaganda narrative that specifically targets veterans. And that's very similar to what I saw in 2016, the run up to 2016, where veterans were specifically targeted by Russian propaganda.
What would be the purpose behind this? So yes, we all agree pedophilia, not good. No one's going to defend that bullshit, but why would FIS target veterans and get us talking about pedos?
Because it's messianic in nature, and it plays right into the mindset that we have as veterans, just about all of us have, is that the world is made up of black hats and white hats. It's good and evil. And we are going to join this sort of messianic movement to fight evil, to conquer evil. And QAnon and other conspiracy theory groups have inflated President Trump as this figure who is waging war against a deep state pedophile network. That is this bizarre narrative that has been crafted. And I think that what you've mentioned, this Wayfair conspiracy that came out the last month, all of these posts that you're seeing, this grind on social media from veterans, suddenly talking about human trafficking and pedophilia, people I've never known to give a shit about this subject up until a week ago are suddenly all over it. So I think that there is a narrative being channeled and being directed specifically towards us right now in this moment. That narrative will likely be matured as we get closer to the election, and there will be additional data points introduced into it.
I have to agree with you on that. I think that there is definitely something. I get this feeling that the ground we stand on is not firm. There is a grumble. There's something going on beneath our feet, and you feel it. And I think that if you've been in the intelligence community or special operations community, you kind of start getting a feel for when things don't feel right. Your spider sense starts tingling. And I get that feeling right now in social media in general. There's a lot of weird, where's this coming from kind of stuff.
Right.
And then when you start putting the pieces together, and like you just said, you know, it seems like this Epstein thing would be really, it would be a closer call. It would be, I guess the MO fits more for a FIS than it does a domestic agency. So let's say, sake of argument, with the Russians or the Chinese running Epstein, collecting dirt on our powerful, on our elite, our high ranking or whatever. And then election season comes by and you start releasing all this pedophilia stuff, counter pedo. So what it really turns out is you're controlling the narrative, because now you've got the public by the balls, and you're able to say this, when you squeeze, be mad about this. And also It just so happens I have the fuel for that fire. So one video, two videos, and before you know it, we're all like, fuck these guys and all this other stuff.
The Russians specifically call this reflexive control theory. It's about understanding what reactions people will have, and then you feed them the information to induce them to take that action. So rather than getting directly involved in something, you take this indirect approach. You feed information into the system, which could be social media in this case, and knowing that certain American cultures are predisposed towards reacting to that information in a certain way. This whole pedophilia thing that we've both been talking about, that is this suddenly in the last 2 weeks, it's this big thing amongst veterans. That is something that you can introduce into us. We have this very bipolar worldview as veterans. Again, we see things as good guys and bad guys, and we want to be the good guys and fight the bad guys. That's something that plays directly into the core of who we are.
I think it's interesting because I have no doubt somebody's going to leave a comment below and say, Rod, you're calling this a foreign intelligence operation, which means you don't think pedophilia is real, which means you support pedophilia, which means you're a bad human being.
Right.
And I think that's part of the narrative.
Plugged into it. Yeah.
So the minute you try and dismiss or you try and expose this as being a illegitimate operation, or you're saying like, hey, folks, this is actually people controlling you. Now you seem like a crazy person. Like, are you saying pedophilia is good? Are you saying that's okay? Like, no.
Why are you a bad person, Rod? You know, what's that about?
I know, right?
What skeletons you got in your closet there, pal?
You know
that's part of what's built into the narrative to discredit anyone who speaks out against it. You know, the sad reality of human trafficking and pedophilia is that it's something that's been with us since the dawn of time. And there is no indication that it's going to go away anytime soon. And the, I've been to, international counter-human trafficking conference down in Florida with police officers from all over the world. And the reality of human trafficking is just very different than what the public thinks it is. And almost more disturbing in a lot of ways. And maybe that's a whole other podcast sometime. But the social media narratives aren't really reflective of what's really going on.
Well, I will leave you with this. This string that we just pulled leads to bigger things. And I know, I've been shocked by some of the stuff that I've been hearing. Everything from, he had a pedo island, to these people hunt children, they eat them, spirit meals or some crazy shit.
One final thought on that, on this particular subject. So a friend of mine is a military officer, and he was in a staff meeting packed full of other military officers. And those officers were talking about the Wayfair conspiracy, that this company Wayfair is like, the conspiracy is that they're like trafficking children by hiding them inside the furniture they make and like boxing them up and nailing them off to people. It's a crazy, insane conspiracy theory. He said these officers are sitting around the conference table talking about it as if it's real. Like, yeah, that's really happening.
But here's
so
where
we, as yes. soldiers, yes. as veterans, we are very susceptible.
We are.
To this kind of propaganda. And we have not, as a group of people, we have not come to terms with that at all.
But at the same time, I think the biggest problem that we have with this is recently conspiracies have come true. I mean, the very fact that you just like you just said, I was talking about this way back and people call me crazy. And then 10 years, 5 years later, oh, by the way, Epstein did have a fucking pedo. If you'd have told me 10 years ago that a super billionaire was taking rich folks to an island and having sex with children, I'd be like, well, possible, but unlikely, because you're telling me the president of the United States,
right,
back in the day just jumped on a jet with this. Like, what about the Secret Service? What about this? And then you've got Secret Service members come forward and just saying, oh, yeah, this dude would just leave. We had no idea where he was.
It goes back to what you said about socially, that we're all on shaky ground. We feel it, that we're on shaky ground. Now, that can be, you look at that in a number of ways. The things that were supposed to happen did not happen. Things that were not supposed to happen happened. 9/11 happened. The invasion of Iraq happened. The 2008 housing crisis happened. Donald Trump got elected, which we were all told was not supposed to happen. All of these things that the experts said would not happen happened. A lot of the things that we were taught in high school you know, in grade school turned out not to be true. If you turn on the Science Channel, the History Channel, you're going to be inundated with shows about conspiracies. So it's no surprise that here we are. I'm 37 years old now. So I grew up around, you know, in the same culture as everyone else. I experienced the same things as the rest of you. It's not really necessarily surprising that people are gravitating towards these alternative explanations of how our country works.
It's weird time. You know, we've said this before. Every time you and I talk, I think we always finish off with strange times that we live in.
Yeah.
And right before this conversation even started, we were in, you know, before the camera started rolling, we were talking about aliens. And now the government's saying, hey, by the way, Aerial Phenomena Group, real. We're going to tell you. Possibly ghosts, but this is the shit that really does. And I have no doubt this episode is going to get the most clicks, the most views, because we are talking about weird shit. People love this stuff. People eat it up. But by God damn it, 9/11 was supposed to be cut and dry, right? Bad guys, terrorists, plane,
building, kill them boom, all, yeah.
Kill them all.
But we'll be back home in 5 years or yeah, 1 year, whatever.
Yeah, it turns out to be it was the Saudis. They were Saudis. Like, oh shit. So wait, why did we go to Afghanistan again?
Right.
Then Iraq, easy kill, right? They, fucking Saddam and nukes and where are the nukes? Oh, yeah, we got lied to about that. That whole war, our bad. We just keep getting hit with like, not true, conspiracy, not true.
Like, oh, look, our banks are all screwed up. So what do? Bail them out, give them billions and billions of dollars. And all the people who got kicked out of their homes, screw them.
And now I can't. Now I can't buy a cup of coffee with money because there's a fucking chain shortage now. Like what?
Right.
What and is
now,
happening?
And now, of course, COVID. On top of all these things we've been talking about, you have COVID that adds to the stress in people's lives that they've lost their jobs, that they're underemployed, that they're in serious financial duress. Also, they're socially isolated. And the average human being is not like me. I can be locked in a room by myself for a month. I don't care. The average person without human contact, they really do get stressed out and they start to freak out about that. Yep. So socially, yeah, people are under a lot of pressure right now.
So next week on The Back Brief, we will be talking about the Mark of the Beast, COVID, 5G, and we'll have a special guest, the ghost of Abraham Lincoln. By the way, aliens will be arriving. Maybe aliens are taking all our change. Who the fuck knows? But that is it, folks. There was no room in this episode really for a mid-show promo because when Jack and I are going, we go. But connectingvets.com, I promise you, not all of it's as interesting, but not all of it as weird as this conversation, or is it? Maybe it is that weird. Maybe Connecting Vets is super weird. You should go check it out. Find out for yourself, connectingvets.com. We have amazing journalists covering real-world stories. They are on Capitol Hill. They are looking out for your interests, whether you're a veteran, a supporter of veterans, a service member. Hey, if you're a service member, you will be a veteran someday. So get plugged into the system now. Start understanding how this thing works because the VA – lawmakers, legislation, and aliens. It's all connected. You're connected. ConnectingVets.com. That was Jack Murphy. Jack, where can people find out more about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Jack Murphy RGR. And I also run a podcast and live stream show called The Team House that you'd find on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you go for that kind of stuff.
One of the dopest podcasts on the planet. It's like legit guests, folks. Guests.
Yeah. I think
not like this ramshackle show where I just have Jack Murphy on.
No. We had like an 81-year-old Special Forces veteran served in Vietnam last week. He joined Special Forces 1961. This guy's like the real deal. Was in some real stuff. And it's just amazing to be able to speak with people like that.
That's the guy that today's operators look at and go, yeah, I would fuck with him still. 80 years old. No, not fucking with that. that dude's been through too much. Folks, that was Jack Murphy. I'm Rod Rodriguez. This was The Back Brief, and I will see you next week. Thanks for watching.
or listening, whatever.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.